Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, to get us started tonight. Psalm 37, for those that may have just tuned in over the internet, so you'll get an idea what's going on. I know this is a little early for our preaching to normally start, but we've got a number of people with really great physical needs and some prayer requests, and this is a night I feel that Madison Baptist Church needs to go to prayer. So I'm going to bring a relatively short message. We're going to get done real early. And for our prayer time, I've got names to mention. I'm not going to do that over the internet. We will do that here after I'm done with the preaching and we're done with the invitation. We'll cut off the internet feed and the radio feed and just simply go to our prayer time. And we hope you can stay and pray. If you can't, I understand. But if there was ever a time that our people needed one another in prayer, it is right now. So, Psalm 37, notice verses 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I like this. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Tremendous words. But I want to focus in on that word commit. It's used a number of times in the Word of God. Has some very strict meanings when you talk about committing something. Now, unfortunately, we live in a day where there's not a whole lot of commitment. I mean, people have commitment as long as they're made happy, as long as they feel loved, as long as they're at ease, but they don't have commitment regardless. I mean, there's some things we need to be committed to regardless. One of those things, of course, obviously, is the Lord. We need to be committed. Where we are wholly dedicated. When I gave my life to the Lord, first of all, I trusted him. He committed himself to me in saving me. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, he committed to keep me saved. I couldn't keep myself saved. See, I don't believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe in the perseverance of the Holy Spirit to keep me saved. You know, I couldn't keep myself saved. Thank God he keeps me saved. And he's committed himself to me, and God's good to his word. When I committed myself to serve the Lord and dedicated myself to him and to his work, it's a commitment that I have sought to keep. But I don't just believe that our whatever service it is that you may have given yourself for the Lord, I just don't believe that that's all there is to this matter of commitment. For instance, we're talking about making a definite decision to seek for your ways to please him. And this would be all your ways. For instance, your location specifically is dealt with here. He's commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But it has to be a commitment for all of our ways to acknowledge him. In whatever we're going to do, we ought to be sold out to him. I don't know about everybody else, but I know this about me. I want to finish right. Amen. I don't want to go just right up to the end or have the last 2 years or 5 years or 5 months or 5 weeks or 5 days not being committed to the Lord. I want it to end still committed to do whatever I can for the Lord. But that means in a number of ways, and I'm not just talking about preaching now. I want to be where God wants me to be. I believe that's very important, to be where God wants me to be. Not only that, I believe in my vocation. I ought to be doing what God wants me to do. Now, God doesn't call every male to preach, except to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But he doesn't call every male to be a pastor or an evangelist. I think you ought to know that what your calling is what you're doing in your vocation. Now, thank God that we have nurses and doctors. Boy, we'd especially be in a mess right now if we didn't, wouldn't we? Thank God for Christian nurses and doctors. Isn't that right? And I want them to be. I want my doctor to be committed. Don't you want your doctor to be committed to what he's doing? I mean, you want it for him to be more than just a job. Oh, wow, here's another patient I got to deal with today. I don't want that doctor. I want doctors committed to my well-being, but my vocation. I want it to be committed to the Lord in your vocation. You're an engineer. I know in Huntsville we got so many engineers, and I don't even understand the term anymore. When they had a big old engine, I understood that. Engineer. Engine. I don't understand playing with a computer. I'm sorry, not playing. Working with a computer. Being an engineer. Nevertheless, that's okay. I don't care what it's called. Just that whatever you do, you ought to know that's God's calling for your life, whatever you do, or at least for your life right now. You see, we're talking about making a definite decision that in all your ways you're going to seek Him because your desire is to please Him. In your recreation, that ought to please the Lord. In your vacation, that ought to please the Lord. There are places I don't go when I'm in town, and there's places I don't go when I'm out of town. Do you understand? I want my recreation to please God. If we can't do it and dress right, then we don't do it. I don't drink any place. I don't drink alcohol any place. Not going to have anything to do with it. Why? I made a commitment to the Lord. A commitment. It doesn't make a difference how bad I may feel or how low I may feel, although it doesn't make any sense. Drinking would just make you lower. It won't make you higher. We get feeling sorry for ourselves. Man, I want my recreation, my aspirations, my adorations. I want my celebrations to please the Lord. And that's like when it comes to a wedding. I never have understood people wanting a wedding where the bride just shows a whole lot of flesh. I have understood that. How in the world can Christian couples want to have a wedding where they wear tight dresses, low-cut gowns, and somehow think here they're doing it, and for the most part, in the church, thinking they're glorifying God? I don't get it. Man, their dress ought to please the Lord, even in things like that. In our celebrations, we ought to please the Lord. In our donations, we ought to please the Lord. In our generations, we ought to please the Lord. Believing that God's way is always the best way. That's where Psalm 119, 128 comes in. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I want to be in His way. And to be in His way, I have to be in the Bible way. I need to do it right. I think it's interesting that when Abraham sent Eliezer out to find a bride for his son Isaac, that when he comes back, he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Eliezer, here he was a servant. Basically, he was a slave. Now, he is the top slave in Abraham's house, but he was in the way wanting to do right by his master, Abraham. That's an amazing thing. So we need to commit our way to the Lord. We need to commit our works to the Lord. Let me give you a great verse. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know one of the reasons why we have a great battle with our minds? We've not committed our works to the Lord. We need to commit today. You know, I learned quite a long time ago that it's a good rule if you want to do your best for getting things done, to make out a to-do list of things you want to accomplish for that day. Now, let me take it a step farther. Make out that list of things you want to accomplish for that day and then stop and commit them to the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Yes, we're talking about individual tasks that you do. You know, God's interested in every part of your life. He's interested in what you do from day to day. As a matter of fact, go over to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to notice in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I've heard people say, well, I never pray for myself. I just pray for others. That's wicked. God says that you're to pray for everything. And that means those things in your life, too. You ought to pray for everything. I wonder how much money we'd save if we prayed before we shopped. I'm just simply saying, we need to commit our works unto the Lord. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Peter Cartwright was an evangelist. He was a Methodist evangelist back in the early days of this country. And he would travel, of course, from place to place, and there he would preach. He ended up in a town where they had a central meeting hall, and he showed up. And, of course, he had preached in that city and our town and preached in other towns in the area. People knew who he was. And he went inside, and he found out that they were having a dance. And one young lady came over to him and said, would you dance with me? And Peter Cartwright said, well, I've got to pray first. And he grabbed her by the hand, walked her out to the middle of the dance floor, got down on his knees and started praying. Obviously, she was looking to get away. She no longer wanted to dance, and he wasn't going to dance. He was committing his way to the Lord. When you commit your works, yes, whether it be soul winning, teaching Sunday school, but more than that, how about your washing and your ironing and your shopping? I'll tell you what, the devil, the older you get in the Lord, your biggest battle's right here. I mean, there's a lot of things that when you were younger, you were tempted with that you're not even tempted with it anymore, but you still got this mind that continues to work. Commit your works unto the Lord. Commit your works unto the Lord, and that will make a great difference in your life. So commit your works, commit your way, and commit your warfare. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, I want you to notice verse 18. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Now, in this particular case, he's obviously not talking out about going out with a bow and arrow or an axe or a gun or anything else to fight in a war. That's not what he's dealing with. We're in a war. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he tells us to take on the whole armor of God. We are in a war. Our enemy is the devil, and he wants to do all that he can to destroy us. You look at what's going on in our midst with what we've had happen to us here just in the last couple weeks with this matter of COVID, and why did it hit us so hard this time? I'm going to tell you why. Man, we're coming back like gangbusters. Great things were happening. We were baptizing almost every Sunday. I mean, it was exciting to see what God was doing, and visitors were being brought out. Well, you realize that when you're in a warfare with the devil, he's not happy when you're happy. And this shouldn't surprise us that the devil would give us such a hard time. As a matter of fact, we ought to be alarmed if the devil's not giving us a hard time. I mean, this is a real warfare. Do you understand that? We'd like to take it ease, our ease in Zion, but that's just not the way it's to be. You need God's strength. You need His might. You need God in order to be victorious in the battle. You need His presence. You need His power. You need His wisdom. This includes, of course, putting on the whole armor of God and leaning on the Lord for power. Even the archangel Michael, you'll remember in the book of Jude, said to the devil, the Lord rebuke thee. Just go back and read the book of Jude. You'll not win the battle with drugs and psychiatrists. You're going to need God. You'll need the truths of God's word, and you need His power. Now, one of my favorite verses is Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. A lot of times, I always just looked at the context, and my thought on that verse kind of ended with that. They were going into the promised land. They had a number of battles to fight. But you know, the battles they had to fight, those outward battles with the Anakim or with the Philistines or with the Ammonites or any of those other groups, those battles are not what he's talking about in this passage. In the passage in Joshua chapter 1, the battle was to stay true to the word of God and not leave it. He says, this book of the law shall not... Matter of fact, let's go back to the passage. We'll go back to the passage to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And notice what he says in Joshua chapter 1. This is so powerful. Beginning at verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. For this, unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the lands which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Notice he didn't say, be strong and very courageous to fight the battles. He said, be strong and very courageous to observe all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then he says, this book of the law, here's the key to their victory in battles. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here's how you get success: obeying the word of God. That's how you get success. Again, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hey, they go off to Jericho, they beat Jericho. The next battle they got defeated. Why did they get defeated? Because one man didn't obey God's word. You say, well, he stole the gold and the silver and the Babylonian. Yeah, but God had told them. His word was they were not to touch the spoil, the first victory. All of it was to go to God in sacrifice. They broke God's word and they lost to a much smaller force. Israel's defeats were always, always when they had gotten away from God's law. And the defeats in your life are going to be when you start thinking that somehow we're so spiritual here under grace that we can treat God's word like a buffet counter, take what we want, not take the other, and somehow God's going to continue to bless us because he needs us. No, 1,000 times no. Victory is still found in walking according to God's word. After all, the problems that Moses had with Israel was when they broke God's word. And the problems Joshua was going to have with Israel was when the people would break God's word. So you get to the book of Judges, because they wouldn't put away their false gods, which were condemned in the scripture, they ended up defeated and taken over by others over and over again. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy works. Commit thy warfare. Now get this, this is going to seem awful close, but it's got a little different turn on it here. And that's commit the word. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. All right, people get saved. What are we to do? He's obviously talking about discipleship. We have a responsibility to give the same word to them that we got from others. Amen. Not a different word. The same word that we got from those that won us and discipled us is the same word that we're to give to the new converts. Do you realize if we fulfilled our job and committed ourselves to giving the same word that we got from others, giving the same word, then the church would continue to roll on walking according to God's word. But we get to thinking that, you know, today's people need something a little different than the word of God. That's your first mistake. We're to give the same word to others. But you understand, preacher, we live in a technological day, and things are different today. No, men are still men. Sin is still sin. God is still God, and His Word is still true, and people still need His Word. Yeah, but if we can add a little beat to it and start rapping it out, we'll have more impact with people. No, you won't. You'll have more impact, perhaps, to get them worldly and godless. Yeah, you'll have that. But you'll not be doing them any favors. You need to commit the Word to others. You know, the Bible tells, for those of us who are parents, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. In the great law, the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, when he told Israel that the great commandment was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, he goes on to tell them then how they were to treat the Word of God. The Word of God was to be in their home. It was to be on their clothes. It was to be outside of their home. When they went out the door, they were to see it. When they came in the door, that they were to see it. The truth was, victory would still be all about, thus saith the Lord. Not a different word. The same word. People in 2021 need the same word that people did in 1960. The same word that people did in 1900. Same word that people needed in 1850. Do you understand? God's word's not changed. We need the same thing. Then we need to commit our welfare to Him. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Said this is going to be a short message, and it is. Our welfare. He says in verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto the faithful Creator. Now, in this book, he talks a lot about suffering according to the will of God. Here's the thing. Commit your welfare to Him, regardless of what happens in your life. What if we have to go to jail for standing for Jesus? And we may. I tell you what, the LGBT people are going to do their best to try to put us there. You understand that? They are the vilest and vulgarest people in the world, and we're just out for their salvation, but they're out for our destruction and incarceration. Do you understand that? I mean, you go to communist nations. Listen, some of these dear people, whether it be living in China or different places in Russia, some of these dear Christians, to stand for God's word can mean a visit that next Sunday and a jail cell, or even during the week to their house and a jail cell. They face that all the time. We've been protected for over 200 years. That protection is vastly slipping away, and it may be as soon as tomorrow when it starts happening. Now, you say, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know, but I got news for you. The devil's busy. He's going to do what he can. But we need to commit our welfare, whether it be from a jail cell. The Apostle Paul was in jail, it seems like, more than he was free. He ended up in jail in every city he went to. You realize this, a lot of the New Testament was written by jailbirds. But they weren't bad people. They were good people. They were great people. Now, you're looking kind of stern at me. You're thinking about it here for just a moment. You say, no, Jesus got to come back first. No, he doesn't. Doesn't have to come back first. I want him to, too. I'm as good as you. But we've got promises. What if God allows us to be part of a generation that are even martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the New Testament Christians considered that an honor. An honor. By the way, the martyrs of the New Testament church did not go out killing people. You understand that? I don't find where Paul struck anybody. New Testament Christians didn't do that. We need to remember, things get tough. Bless God, I'm an American, man. I've got guns. You better be careful about how you use that then. And if you want to call yourself a Christian, when Paul said, I fought a good fight, that doesn't mean he took up a sword and stabbed people. His good fight was for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Commit thy welfare unto the Lord. Job said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, God does not tell us that we have to understand what he's doing. And God's not telling us that we have to enjoy what he's doing. And God's not telling us that we must like what he is doing. Just like Paul and Silas in jail in Acts chapter 16, they are thrown in the stocks. Their backs have been beaten. But they're not sitting there complaining. They're singing and praising God during that time. You see, this is New Testament Christianity. This is how we must respond if it happens to come our way. Let's be New Testament Christians. Let's not dishonor the name of Christ. We have a great God, and he knows so much more than we do. So commit our way unto him. Commit our works unto him. Commit our warfare unto him. Commit his word unto others. And of course, first then we must commit it to ourselves and commit our welfare unto him. I don't know what tomorrow holds, as one man said, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I trust him. The just shall live by faith. So let's do it. Commitment. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Dear God, deal with our hearts. For our folks listening at home, some listening, no doubt, even in the hospital tonight. God, how we pray you'd be with them. Oh, dear God, please give them healing. Lord, meet every need. May they rest in this that we are praying for them and we'll be praying for them tonight here in just a little bit. God, please, have your way in our lives, that Christ be glorified, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.